fellow Freedom fans, I forgot to say this. I had a conversation just a couple hours prior to going on the air with a lady who is the wife of Mohandas K. Gandhi's grandson. They're friend of ours, and they're friends of ours, and they're sweet people. Can I tell you, these people were trained by Mohandas K. Gandhi, the Mahatma, to really honor people. I got to tell you, if you want to learn how to compliment and honor and make somebody else feel important, these guys have got it figured out. My hope is that I'm going to have an opportunity to sit with him and take all my radio equipment into my living room. We're going to have lunch. Tentatively, he's out of town right now, but we're going to have lunch. We'll have some time talking. We're going to talk about a few things. We're going to calm down. And actually, you'll be able to join me with a live interview with the grandson of Mohandas K. Gandhi, who you hear about a little bit on the breaks as we go to the breaks. And you say, well, a big deal is his grandson. Well, it turns out, if you saw the movie Gandhi, he had all these little kids in the background. Turns out like some of his children were off doing lawyer work and things. And, you know, they had jobs and it's kind of a culture where people would go overseas, send their kids to boarding schools and stuff. Well, Mr. Gandhi's children who are off doing these kind of things, instead of having the kids off at boarding school, actually had them with grandpa on their little compound or whatever it was. So he was raised and if you ask him, he's a scientist, works for the U.S. government, does the math, does cobalt kind of programming still on computers and things like that to make sure that things in outer space land back on Earth and vice versa and things like that. He got his expertise in physics and not physics, but mathematics by homeschool. From who? Granddad. So Granddad loved math. Granddad walked around with a New Testament. Isn't that something? So we're actually going to have a talk with a man who's obviously raised. He doesn't even drive a car. He says he was raised driving horse carts. He can operate a horse cart. Of course, his wife that I talked to today, she's got a driver's license. She drives around, stuff like that. It's just an interesting thing. We're going to have him hopefully on the show. I talked to him about it a couple of weeks ago, and he had to go out of town. But we're going to try to do that. I'm going to ask him to tell us about you'll be hearing secondhand about Mohandas K. Gandhi, the one they called Mahatma. So he'll have his firsthand accounts of some experiences with him. And I think that's valuable. This is a window into history that I realize, you know what? I see these guys here now and then around town, and we spend some time together when we can. But you know what? I thought we've got to get, it's like when I talked to Mr. Garlitz and I didn't record the interview. The guy's fabulous. You need to go talk to the man. He's really, I'd say he's somebody I was just so impressed because he's just a bigger than life kind of guy and just amazing, just visionary and goes out and does what he wants to do, just making an impact on people's life. He's actually got a very strong faith that I didn't even know about and faith in Jesus. But of course, he doesn't use it as a marketing tool. He just lives it. And I was very impressed by that, very impressed by some of the things he said here on a live broadcast. And I realized we've got a window in time to get some of these guys from the old school perspective and listen to it and apply it, you know, to sit and listen to what they have to say. I will tell you, my wife said to me something. She said that I said when we were first met, she said, well, where'd you learn the following things? And I said, well, I actually tried to deliberately put myself around men who loved God and put it into practice. In those times that I wasn't around them, obviously it had detrimental effects when you're around people that aren't like that. And I just realized even at a young age that, and it's probably because one of these guys influenced me to start reading Proverbs. And I think the first proverb this guy wrote I went to camp and there was an older guy who was 17 years old. I think I was 13 or something, maybe 14. I can't remember. And he writes on my camp picture and he says, Proverbs 1:7. So I look it up. It says, fear the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Fear the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, right? It's the beginning. If you want to have knowledge, make sure you focus first on fearing the Lord. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. So I understood right away, wisdom and instruction is something I need to be very open to. So I made that a part of my life, and it's been helpful. So here we have with people that I think we can learn from, and let's get it while we can. And I think there's people that are the age group of the 70s and older. So I think that have some regrets that they look at what's happening now and they realize maybe they weren't doing as much as they could have been doing to head some of this off. We've got to do it now because we see it. We are being inoculated here on the Liberty Works Radio Network. So you're not going to be just duped by the sweeping of the passions. And I will tell you, there's people in their 60s, 65s and on now that'll be saying things to me. Well, we know the following things are facts. Oh, really? Don't summarize. Tell me where you got that. Well, we know the Bible's wrong on this and blah. Oh, do you? Tell me how you know it's wrong. I've got information that would show that it's right. I've got some statistical information. I have factual information. I have something that we can measure, that we can touch and feel and experience that would indicate it's right. But what you're doing is quoting a broad summary statement that is becoming a maxim, whether or not it has any basis in truth. We're not going to play with maxims here, except that there's a pandemic of dementia sweeping North America. America is going insane. Something to think about. Our website's faithfreedoms.org. The number here is 888-850-1872. You should be able to remember that. It's all eights for the toll-free. 850 is the same area code as Tallahassee, the government offices, and, of course, 1USA at the end. I wanted to talk about today some privatization. One of the things, as I said earlier, if it's privatized, what I understand privatization is take something that is legitimately a purpose of government and farming it out to somebody who isn't. So the Navy, Article 1, Section 8, talks about the Navy, the Army, things like that, farming it out. There are some things called letters of marque and reprisal and all kinds of really weird things like that mentioned in the Constitution. I could probably get somebody, another over 70-year-old person who's just loves the Lord, has great faith, subject matter expert on the thing. Well, we could talk about that to explain what that is sometime. Maybe I'll ask him if he's written a book on it and I can study it and bring it back here. But it's just, if it's something that's legitimate purpose of government, government should be doing it. In my own life in the Navy, we had these things. I can't remember their rating word, but they were guys that were trainer technician kind of things. I can't remember the job, but when I first joined the Navy in 1980, we would go to a training facility, and there are people that their whole job was to fix this stuff. Now, what they ended up doing instead of, and these guys that would fix the stuff, guess what? They wouldn't go to sea. You know why? Because they were just trained to fix the trainers. And I thought, and instead of just saying, okay, we're not going to have these guys that the only guys in the Navy who are always on land working on the electronics, getting the advanced electronics training and the benefit of never going to sea in the Navy. I mean, what a good deal. So they weren't getting really good promotions because everybody stayed in forever because it was a really cush job. Instead of turning it over to, say, the sonarmen to go on shore duty and fix their own training equipment, or electronics technicians when they go on shore duty to fix training equipment, not just radios or something like that. Instead of doing that, what they did was they outsourced it, so to speak. They privatized it. There were some problems, and there were problems not just for the government. I think it was a very unchallenging job, by the way. I think you're milking a lot of money and wasting a lot of time. So that's actually a good job for a shore duty. You know, somebody's done some arduous sea duty. It's kind of good to give them a cushy job on shore once in a while. What it did is it took away those shore billets. Then the other thing was, what I saw was the same guy would work, this one guy would get out of the Navy, and when he found out, oh my goodness, I'm going to have to convert to a different rating that's going to go to sea, well, he got out of Navy, and what he did, he got hired by that contractor that took the contract, and he went right out of that job into that job. And he was making a certain amount of money. Of course, in a few years, some other contractor came in, bid the same job with lower money. And guess what? He was going to lose his job unless he went to the work for this next contractor, of course, for lower pay. That's how they would be able to give a lower bid. Now, what happened to his retirement plan? Of course, 401(k)s kicked in and stuff like that, because what was happening was this kind of situation was making it so nobody had continuity with their job, and they didn't have continuity with their retirement plans and things like that. And so what was happening is it progressively their job stability started going away with the whimsical coming and going of contracts. Now, what about when a contractor comes in and doesn't have people necessarily who have been working this equipment and know this equipment for the last 15 years, like the guy who's been there since he was in the Navy and then got the job for different contractors, but they bring in their cousin who isn't such a good technician, but he's going to take the job, and the guy who's been working there for 15 years is now out of a job. And by the way, there's only two of these training sites on the entire planet, and now he's got to retrain, and he's, you know, he's approaching and he's in mid-40s. So that was an example. I say if it is the government's job, it is government stuff, and you've got a training program, give the guy a little job stability or turn it into a government service job that you can actually, it's a function of government, it's government equipment, and you turn it into a GS job. Give the person long-term stability, get the benefit of having somebody who can count on being there and having this job and maybe working some promotion scheme, training as relief or something like that, having a retirement plan, being able to feed his family, helping the economy of the company not fall apart whimsically because of the strange backdoor deals and things like that. So there's what I'm saying is it's you don't not do a privatization, so to speak. You don't say, well, we're not going to turn over this government function to a private contractor because of the pragmatism of it all, because you can't forecast all that. If it is legitimately the government's to do, government do it. That's it. There's the ramifications and catastrophes of doing the wrong thing are just going to come. Now you can maybe measure some of those and then whine about privatization because of the calamities, not because of the calamities. You're wicked, evil, and you know, degenerate if you're worried about whether it's benefiting you or not. And who's the good guy, who's the bad guy? That's factionalism. Law is there to basically stabilize this whole problem so that we don't have factionalism, you know, political wars, propaganda from different interests, but that if we do things where the government is legitimately supposed to be doing it, let them do it. Let them do it. And so eventually I'm going to have somebody talk about this. I'm only here doing this on one segment. But that's what we're going to have to get back down to is a reference. What's your reference, folks? When you go through life, do you have a reference? Do you have votes? Okay, we're all going to get together and decide what we're going to do. Hey, do you get together and have a vote on your children's discipline? I don't know. What do you do? Or are there absolutes? Are there rights or the wrong? We have the Carmichael way in our family. You know, and it was brought up by my daughter was like six. Somebody said told her, I won't tell you her name because she's a youngster. And she said, they said, well, how come you're not doing this? And she said, she might have been five or six. She said, it's the Carmichael way. And I'm telling you, this pastor just broke down laughing. And we sat and we thought about it and we thought, well, actually, make sure if you say it's Carmichael way, it really is a Carmichael way, you're going to be in huge trouble. You're gonna pay double penalty. Let me tell you what, if you're saying it is the Carmichael way and you're really just using an excuse to do the wrong thing. But it was pretty funny. And then so now ever since that, we're like, no, it's the Carmichael way. What's it based on? Hopefully on our life, we try to keep it on a biblical basis. So if we start, you think we're messing up, hold us accountable to that threshold, and then we can be held accountable. Reprove a fool and he will hate you. You can even rebuke a wise man and he will love you. That's what we're hoping. Give us some rebuke. We got to be nice on the radio because we got common law and FCC regulations, all that kind of stuff. So we got to make sure we love our neighbor as ourselves, including us. And we're going to come back Monday, Lord willing, with the Faith and Freedom Show. Check out our website, faithfreedoms.org, and our podcast, faithfreedoms.net. You will be rewarded, and we shall return.